Unlimited power!
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4 powering up. Mark 17 powering up. Mark 44 powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to house party protocol.
Power up suits and welcome in to a new episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, as I'm sure you know by now, and with me today on this Fat Tuesday is one Derek Grant. Was here before, and now he decided to make a repeat appearance.
I am excited to be here again. It was a lot of fun the first time around, and it's going to be a lot of fun today talking about our favorite who is it again?
On this one, Derek, we are going to be discussing our favorite and least favorite crisis cards. Or crises? Because the cards themselves are pretty and nice. So I guess it wouldn't be the card, but the actual event on the card. We're also going to have some tactics discussions, as we've been doing lately. And I think that people tend to like that one, I think. We're also going to be talking about the recently spoiled Star-Lord, and we're going to do something a little different today with regards to Star-Lord. We're not only going to talk about the character, but all the cards that they revealed on stream. That includes his tactic cards, the crisis card that comes with him, and the power gem. Very excited for that. Action-packed show full of fun, adventure, and lovely discussions, and probably a cat meowing or two because they're right here next to me right now.
Let's be real. Everybody's here for the cat meows.
Okay? Exactly. If we can incorporate cats, I mean, what's not to love?
Exactly. Except for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
We don't talk about that.
I heard that it was pretty terrible, but like I almost want to watch it just to see how terrible. But at the same time, I'm afraid I might be scarred for life.
Ooh, yeah. I'm in the same boat. I don't want to be scarred for life watching the Cats movie.
Right.
So I might hold off.
I don't know, man. I think one of us needs to just do it, and I'll play rock, paper, scissors right now with you. We'll see who does it. You ready?
All right, let's go.
All right. On shoot. Three, okay. Two, one, shoot. I got paper.
Oh, I did paper too.
Oh, see, I thought you were just going to be like, yeah, I got scissors, dog. You're going to watch it. All right,
no,
one more time.
The truth. I'm an honest guy.
I appreciate that. One more time. Here we go. Three, two, one, shoot. I got rock.
Scissors.
All right, so it looks like you're watching it. Let me know what happens.
All right, yeah, I'll watch it, and I'll give you the deets.
Thank God. So just the final non sequitur here of all of this before we get into the meat of this show. Have you ever walked out of a movie?
No.
Right.
Because I have this thing where, like, I paid for this, and I'm gonna even if my eyes are bleeding, I'm going to sit there and watch it.
I'm with you. I'm getting my money's worth. I'm not leaving the movie theater if I paid for that. Even if I was like invited and somebody paid for me, I'm still probably not leaving even if the movie's bad.
But yeah, same.
Anyways, speaking of leaving places, have you played any games lately?
I have not. I've been in a little bit of a move situation. I started a new career.
Woo.
In TV news.
Nice.
So I had to move from my place to somewhere else, and it's been a little bit hectic. You know, I'm actually like in between places. It's complicated. I don't want to go over it, but it's been a little bit. But I constantly think about the game, and I got all the expansions. So,
yay.
I get all the expansions, even if I don't have time to put them together.
Much less paint them, right?
Right. Sooner or later, I'm going to have a lot of games in once I'm a little bit more settled here. So,
hey, that makes sense. And, you know, it's not like you didn't get a bunch of games in before that. And that's good that you're still, like, in the game. I love to hear that. Like, this game, I will say it's one of those that, like, it definitely takes up a lot of my brain time. Like when I'm when I'm sitting there watching a movie with my wife, sometimes I'm over here like, all right, so how can I maximize Thor?
Exactly.
you know what I mean?
She's over there going, what is he thinking about?
Right.
And you're like, Thor.
Exactly. It's that meme, you know, that meme where the wife and the husband are in bed and the husband's like rolled over and the wife's like, what is he thinking right now? And it's like, is God of Thunder worth it?
Like,
that is 100% the thought that is going through my head right now.
Extremely accurate.
Yeah. So anyways, for me, I played two games this past Sunday and I thought I was going to do well in at least one of them and then proceeded to lose pretty badly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who are you fielding?
First time I was fielding Avengers, Captain America, Vision, Black Panther, Black Widow, and Shuri.
Okay.
That was my squad. We were playing Wakandan herbs, and I don't even remember because the herbs were like the thing we cared about the most.
Oh yeah,
Infinity Formula.
We always care about the herbs, right?
Exactly, yeah, the herb. It was Infinity Formula. So Wakandan herbs and Infinity Formula were our crises. I always feel weird saying that. And I had a plan to, like the one that I mentioned on the show before, where to go get it with Black Widow, pass it off to Black Panther, let Black Panther keep scoring. But instead I thought, oh yeah, I can just make it with Black Widow over there to score. And it took me until turn four to get over to the freaking vessel to start scoring my Wakandan herbs. Meanwhile, Black Widow got dazed at 1.2 and it just became this thing and I couldn't stop him from scoring his herbs like I had planned on doing. Dice happened and yeah, I had a big lead and then he scored the herbs and then dazed a couple of my characters all in one turn and it just went downhill from there.
Oh man.
Yeah, and then the second game we were playing the Worthy Hammers, the new one that came with Thor. Mm-hmm. We were playing that one and Origin Bombs and the dice hated me. Like my strategy was poor in a lot of ways. Like I'll cop to that. I'm not very good at this game, even though I like to talk about it and I have a podcast and I should be good at it and I've played it a lot, but that doesn't matter. I'm not very good. The dice hate me sometimes. And this was one of those instances where, yeah, the dice were like, screw you. You're not going to do well in this game. And yeah, I got walked off the table on that one. Not tabled as in all my models got destroyed, but just it was bad. It was just bad.
Yeah, you know, it happens to the best of us. Like when I took on my wife and her MODOK with my Black Panther and the dice gods were not with me and MODOK annihilated Black Panther. So, and that was right when he came out. So I didn't even get a chance to even really use him in the game. I was like, well, okay, I guess he'll just die.
That's how it goes. Yeah. So it's funny because like in this two game situation that I played, the first game I had Vision, right? And he did work. Like he survived on one health forever. It was amazing. Like on his healthy side, he was on one health for so long. It was insane. And he just did work. Like he beamed four people in a row at one point. It was excellent. Did so much work. Second game, he was gone by turn two.
Oh, geez.
So.
The dice
hateth me. But they giveth and they taketh away, right? There's going to be a game one of these days where it just totally swings the other way and my opponent's going to get pissed off. But speaking of being pissed off, let's talk about our least favorite crisis first before we talk about our favorite crisis.
All right, you want me to go first?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this may seem controversial. Maybe. I don't know yet.
Controversial take. Uh-oh, somebody's about to be triggered.
But it's the extremist console.
Oh, dude, that's funny.
I'll tell you why, okay?
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear your why.
Okay, it's because that one extremist console closest to you is basically a pit for a character to sit at.
Yep.
And I hate going into it knowing that I need a character to sit on that console. And it just bugs me. I know we got the Winter Soldier and he's got range 5 and he'd be perfect for that with his assault rifle. But I mean, a lot of characters, you know, they just, you know, I don't want to bring in Winter Soldier just for extremist console. You know what I mean? I want to be able to use him for other things and sit on a point.
100% agree.
So that's kind of why, I mean, I like the other points. It's the two that always, you know, you always get that big old clash on those other two, but the mm-hmm. one closest to you, it's kind of just like a hole for some character to sit at, and it really stinks.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. So that's why it's my least favorite.
No, I actually, it's funny that you say that, because it's my least favorite as well.
What? No way.
Yes. We did not coordinate this, which is what's awesome.
We did not.
Yeah, it's my least favorite. I will say I was torn, because I do have another one that I'm not super in love with, but this one was my least favorite just because it's like you said, like it just takes an entire character out of the game. And while that can be strategically viable, so like I would rather have like an Okoye or a Winter Soldier because he's only 3 threat, or a Black Widow at 2 threat. I would rather have a character like that, a low threat character that has some long range in Winter Soldier's case, holding that point. But at the same time, I mean, they are effectively useless.
Exactly.
And then you say, okay, well, I could give up the point closest to me and go over here to one of these other ones. And it just never seems to be viable to me, you know? And then you layer that with, okay, so a lot of times with extremist consoles, and depending on what the extraction is, this can change, but like a lot of times it feels like that there's really two extremist consoles that really get most of the action, right? There's mm-hmm. there's two of them. So then there's a whole other 2 points that either you just got to send somebody over there to sit at and then they can't do anything, or you're just going to leave that up for like that last ditch swing of points at the very end if you need it. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It's one of the least fun ones out there.
Obviously, I completely agree, because obviously. I mean, it just stinks so much. You know, you want to play with these characters, but one has to sit back and hold this console, because even if you, like you said, you can move him off, but it's not going to be worth it, because your opponent is going to be like, no, they're going to sit on their point and they're going to gain more points than you. Exactly. And then at that point, it stinks. I don't like it.
Exactly. No, I'm 100% with you. And the other one that I was going to say is kind of like my meh one is the Skrulls one, with the Skrull token. The only reason why this wasn't my least favorite is because you get 2 victory points for holding the Skrull token. But I'm not in love with the Skrull one, just because you have to roll those damn dice. And yeah, you have to roll 2 dice, and you have to have at least one of those be a crit to pick up the token. So you got, you know, you run somebody up there to pick up the token, and all of a sudden they whiff the roll and they're just sitting there as a great juicy target for someone to come up and destroy. So
yeah, I would say that's probably a meh one for me too, because of what you just said. So I think we're on the same wavelength here.
I like it. I think that's
interesting. That's fun.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, like, Those are least favorites. What about your favorite Crisis? Because this one might be interesting too.
This is going to be maybe a little odd, but I kind of like the Gamma Shelter.
Oh, really?
Yes. I like the Gamma Shelter a lot.
Okay.
And
why? I really want to know why you like it, because it's one of those that for me is super swingy.
It's because it kind of drives, it forces you to march across to the other side. But also, if you team it up right with a different crisis. We'll go with crises.
Yeah.
If you team it up with a certain crisis, you got to move away from that shelter. You got to move out of, you know, that 2 range away and be uncomfortable and maybe take that, you know, take a risk. And so it kind of makes you take a risk, but also trying to push you to the other side and basically try to steamroll your opponent. Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot of fun. I don't know why. I just think it's fun. It's made for a lot of interesting games that I've had. So that's why it's my favorite. It's a good time for me.
Yeah, no. And that, I think that's one of the things about this game that's so wonderful, is everybody can have a different type of fun with it. And to me, this game excels more than almost any game I've ever played at just flat out being fun most of the time. Like, very rarely can I say I have had a poor experience with this game. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly.
And even if I am playing extremist consoles, I'm still having a good time.
Right? Like, I got tabled by my wife.
And still had a blast.
And I had a blast doing it. because, you know, even when you get tabled, it's still so much fun to use these characters and throw the dice because you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
I love it.
But it's funny that you say, well, so for me, my favorite, I want to talk about yours before I get into mine, though. So, okay, I like Gamma Shelters for different reasons. Like, I think Gamma Shelters is really cool because it creates, like, you brought superheroes to battle one another. So Gamma Shelters just creates a battle in the middle of the table, usually.
Right.
And that's just fun. And that it creates fun things for, like, beam attacks and area attacks. Like, God of Thunder might be viable in Gamma Shelters. Like, for me, it's not most of the time, but that's just me. Like, you know, whatever. Somebody out there probably is like, oh, God of Thunder's the best attack in the game. But, you know.
It might be to someone.
Right. And that's cool. But anyways, so I like Gamma Shelters because it creates that fight. One of the weirdest combinations of crises that I've seen, though, is Gamma Shelters with Wakandan herbs.
Oh, my goodness.
Think about how that would work. So you've got the Wakandan herbs on two polar opposite sides of the board, and Gamma Shelters right up the middle. So, like, you've got to run across the board and have somebody out there taking the objective across the board, taking damage the whole time because you know they're not under the shelter, probably trying to avoid the middle shelter because if they do, they're going to get blasted in that scrum that always happens right there. So I just find that fun, and I like how Gamma Shelters, you can go, like, kind of late in the game, everybody's kind of committed to that middle one, and you can, like, sneak a character into the far away one and get those three victory points.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love doing that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that crises. Now I'm confused.
In this instance, it's a crisis because we're only talking about the one.
Okay. I like that crisis a lot. So
yeah. Cool.
It just, like you said, the Wakandan herbs, you know, like even like the spider infected, you can team it up with a lot of things and it creates a lot of different things. That's why I like it. So
exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So for me, my favorite is the new one that we just got with Thor. Fear grips world as worthy terrorized citizens. So first off, I love it because it's 18 threat. And that just, you can do some weird fun stuff with list building with 18 threat. And you can legitimately fit the mind gem in with this if you're playing on 18 threat. Not that, like, I personally think the mind gem is meh. But as we'll see when we talk about Star-Lord, there's another that's not so meh. So this one to me is fun because there are four of those hammer things floating around out there. And if you get those on characters that don't roll a ton of dice, so for instance, Winter Soldier, if you can get a hammer on Winter Soldier and he rolls five dice versus four dice for his assault rifle, you would think, oh, one die is not going to make that much of a difference. Let me tell you, it's awesome. And not only that, you put two hammers on Winter Soldier somehow, whew, that assault rifle gets nizasty.
Oh, man. I like that word, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, nizasty. Do what I can. So, yeah, nizasty, trademarked. Feel free to Bogart that, though.
Put a big old T on that.
Exactly. But I think it's a lot of fun just because all rolling more dice and doing more damage is fun, especially if you combine this with a Gamma Shelters type secure where it's going to be a big fight. It can just create these swingy, crazy dice moments. And for me, it's funny. Like, I love this, but in my experience, the more dice I roll, the worse I tend to do. Like, so if I'm out
you
there,
you get overconfident. You're like, I have eight dice. And
exactly.
It's like, oh.
Like, I'm rolling a Hulk smash. I'm like, I'm going to fuck you up. And it's like three fails, three blocks, and then two hits. Well, there you go. So yeah, no, so even though that happens to me more often than not, I still love stuff where I get to roll more dice. And in this instant, you know, it's like, I love this crisis. It just makes it a lot of fun. And it, if you get all those extra dice, again, like somebody like Black Widow, who's not rolling a ton of dice, or Okoye with her vibranium, or whatever, I don't remember, I don't have the card right in front of me, but the one where she gets to do flurry, mm-hmm. like that can get awesome with a hammer. So yeah, I think that's kind of fun. And you haven't played that one yet, have you?
I have not because of my move situation, and that's making me salivate a little bit.
It should. It's pretty tasty.
I can't wait to get that taste in.
just need a little taste. Just a taste. Yeah, as you're scratching your neck like that character from Chappelle's Show.
Right.
So, any final thoughts on crisis stuff?
Well, I think the only thing is that, you know, I think they've done a pretty good job with crisis cards so far. And, you know, I just hope that they keep it up.
Yeah.
Aside from the extremist console, I hope they kind of don't repeat that anymore.
Yeah.
And don't do that whole, you have to have a character sitting there. That, you know, too bad, so sad. But I think they've done a pretty good job with crisis cards. They've been a lot of fun so far. And I want more. I want more of them.
Yep.
So I can't wait.
I want more secure crisis cards, because right now we have, I think it's, there are two more extraction crises than crises. Damn it. Two more extraction crises than secure crises right now. So I definitely want more secure. And maybe if we ever see Miles and Spider-Gwen, we will see another secure. That's what they teased a little bit anyways. But moving on, let's talk about some tactics. So I know you said you haven't really had too many games in a while, but I think that you have some tactics that you would like to discuss, right?
So a tactic that I like to think about a lot is with the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
Because I know we've talked about, you know, especially on the show before, we've talked about the Hulk. And I remember hearing you say that you got to do – the Hulk has to go second, right?
Yeah.
Or last, or not the first.
Yeah.
He can't be the first. And the reason I think about the Hulk a lot is because, you know, I see him a lot – get a lot of shit on the Discord and things like that for having such low defense, and that's totally understandable. But I feel like with the right tactics – Hulk is a force if you play him right. I mean, obviously, if you run him right in to the fray, he's probably going to get clapped, right?
Yeah. Well, or he might do some clapping, but he will get clapped back, as it were.
Absolutely. So I often think about tactics for the Hulk. So I usually set him up last,
Okay. Actually,
because, you know, we alternate in the game. You know, we alternate setting up characters. I usually set him up last. I also don't have him go first, because usually the way he goes, a lot of other characters are going to go the same way. I want him to go in a direction that I want. I know that he's going to be successful.
Sure.
And I like to team him up with like a Captain America. Or now we have Okoye, right?
Yeah.
That's bodyguard as well. With a bodyguard ability to kind of ease away that damage. Because, you know, once Captain America's flipped over, he's nigh unkillable almost, right?
Yeah, he's hard to kill unless you throw shit at him. As I've said many, many times on this show.
Yes, you got to throw stuff at Captain America 100%. But so I like to team him up with a bodyguard and kind of head in a good direction that I think he'll be the most successful. Because once Hulk takes down a character, he's going to take down someone else too, in my opinion, based on what I've been able to do. He's been knocked out for me. He has gotten knocked out, but I feel like if you play him right and you use him tactically and smart and don't just rush him into the fray, into the middle of everything,
yeah,
he's going to be very successful, because he just throws so much dice. It's absurd how much dice – and you know, you want him to get hit a little too, because he'll just throw so much dice. So I like thinking about tactics for the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
What do you think? What are your thoughts on the Incredible Hulk tactics there?
So for me, I don't play Hulk super often, really. I don't know if you listened to the roster thing I did with Nate on his YouTube channel on the Gamers Guild. He had a roster discussion, and then we had a roster discussion here on the show also. And personally, Hulk doesn't make my roster, because I just kind of feel like the jig is up on Hulk. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that the game has presented us with ways to deal with Hulk a little better than what we had when it was just the core set, Hulk and MODOK. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that if you play Hulk, if someone is playing Hulk right now, then you have to be a lot more thoughtful with, one, your deployment, like you said, two, when to engage Hulk and when to try to disengage with Hulk, because I think that that's also important. So like, one of the things that I tried to do with Hulk originally was, for instance, in the Skrull or the Kree Power Core crisis, one of those crises, God damn it. when playing one of those where there's only one objective that someone can get, I wanted Hulk to have it because, yes, he's low defense, but getting through that 20 health is difficult. And he actually can move decently if you include Gamma Leap and then his short movement on top of that. So he has a decent enough move to get around the board. So like if you get those and then get him kind of out of the way maybe or on the fringe, he can thunderclap people. I saw that as useful. And now the more I look at it, I'm like, man, if you do get that on him and somebody does run him away, well, that's sixth threat that's not involved in the game at that point. So then I start thinking about, okay, if I do get that on him, and then I get him in the scrum there, how many turns am I going to viably get Hulk to survive? And that also, you layer that in with the tactics cards. So if I have Hulk, I have to have a patch up. Because as he gets higher and higher on the damage, I want to be able to take five damage off of him at the strategically appropriate point. So like, I don't want to let him get down to 17 damage and then want to play it. I want to do it when he's got like 15 or 14 damage. Like when he's just in that double digit range, that's when I want to play patch up, because then that's a whole other, you know, that's effectively makes him 25 health that you have to go through if you play patch up for its full cost. Mm-hmm. And I think that
exactly.
And I think that that's how you have to think about it is how do you help Hulk survive? Because Hulk does a lot. Like he's this one of two characters in the game that can throw a size 4 building, which throwing stuff, I cannot say this enough, that throwing stuff is seriously, it is awesome. And it's one of the most reliable ways to do damage because it's not on you to roll dice to do damage. You just pick the thing up, you throw it, and it's damage unless a dodge is rolled. So it's on your opponent to do damage. So Hulk throwing size 4 stuff is awesome. But I just feel like that, again, that there's just so many more ways to deal with Hulk now. And for instance, Vision being a really, I think, good Hulk counter, because having a beam, a solar energy beam of range 4, whereas Hulk's furthest range attack is range 3, and it's also a beam, but that range 4 beam, it has sap power, and you gain 1 power at the end of it. So like, if you've got a loaded up Hulk and you do an energy beam, a solar energy beam at him, I mean, you're taking some power off of him potentially. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Hulk tactics, I think that you've just really got to play smart with him. And he's much more finesse. And like you said, like you're deploying him last, activating him later in a round is generally better, I think, because I mean, if I see a Hulk activated first, I am like a kid on Christmas because I'm going to go up there and try to take him out. Before,
exactly,
you know, and it doesn't always work. And if I think I've actually said this before too, like I'm trying to take out Hulk. Like that's, if I see a Hulk on the board, I'm not going to let him run around and throw 6+ dice at me all the time.
Exactly.
Because 6 dice on his strike versus, and then 8 dice on a Hulk smash and thunderclap, is it 5 or 6? I don't remember, but
I think it's 5.
I think it's 5, but still, like, so his lowest attack is 5, which is Black Panther's base attack. You know what I mean? So like, right. I don't want to deal with that. I would rather get rid of that. And if I can take 6 threat off the board at the cost of a 2 or 3 threat character, I'm still winning on the math.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And that's why I think about his tactics a lot. Everything you said that is, you know, there are solutions to Hulk now. I mean, look at Thor.
Right, yeah. Yeah, like Thor's hammer throw being range 5 and automatically applying the shock condition, which is -1 die on the attack. I mean, you want to talk about dealing with a Hulk. I mean,
it's, yeah.
And then you layer that on with the potential for other characters to stagger him and stuff like that. I mean, you stagger a Hulk, I mean, you're really, that's a hurting on a Hulk.
Absolutely.
So,
and, you know, like I said, that's why I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
Because I like the model.
Yeah, no, me too. And it's fun to see him out there.
Exactly. It's fun to see him out there, but it's becoming increasingly difficult to stand up to some of these big guys like Thor. So you got to use him in a particular way, and then you kind of got to finesse his tactics a little bit. And it's a lot of fun to try to figure out how to make him beat the crap out of everybody.
Right, and he can certainly do it. And that's the thing. If it's kind of timed just right, I mean, a Hulk can really change the tide of a game in terms of his damage output and stuff. I mean, he can walk a Thor off the table in the right circumstance, you know. So
it all depends on the dice.
Those swingy dice. I mean,
the dice are, they speak.
They do. And maybe that's why I'm not so in love with Hulk, is like I said, because every time I get that huge Hulk smash loaded up, I just whiff the roll.
Oh, that reminds me of a Hulk roll that I made. He was down to like, what was it, 3 health, where he throws the most amount of dice? I'm pretty sure I had him at about 3 health. And I had all the dice, and it whiffed. Zero. And it's not even a lie. I'm not making it up. I completely whiffed every single one of those dice. It's just absurd.
See, and that's like I love the nature of dice games, but man, when that happens, it's like, explain to me how this works, please. And it's in that moment right there where I'm like I need to make sure I have recalibration matrix,
right? Like,
and I need to have 3 power just in case, because I just know it's gonna be bad.
This is why I don't gamble.
Right.
If I'm rolling like 12 dice, what's it going to be when I roll like 2 at the casino?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I don't play craps because it's going to be a crapshoot.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that's pretty good on the tactic talk for today, talking about a little Hulk tactics. Yeah, I don't really have any other tactics today other than roll good.
Right.
So, yeah, that was fun. All right, so let's jump into our Star-Lord discussion. So first things first, let's take a look at his model, because I personally really like what they've done with this model. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a lot of fun. I really like, I mean, the painting that's on the model that they have is just phenomenal too.
Oh, yeah.
So
they did an incredible job on the paint job. And then I like the fact that, I've said this before also, but how it's not just rocks that they're standing on now. Like,
yes.
I like how his little rocket boots are flying off into space. You know, I just think that's really fun in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I agree.
The only criticism I have with this sculpt, like as a sculpt, like, is the fact that I wish his guns were pointing out instead of up.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. At least one of his guns.
Right. At least one of them should be pointing out, shooting at something.
Yeah. I think that's the only fault that I can find in the model too, but I really like it. It's got the MODOK effect, you know, on the ground.
Right.
It's just such a good, I think it's a really good model.
I do too. I think it's really fun, and it's a very modern take on Star-Lord, which I'm fine with, but I think I'm going to paint mine closer to like Schick painted his on the stream with the blue. Like, I really, really like that blue, kind of darker blue jacket look.
Yeah.
And I might mix it up and go like with a gold face mask and golden guns and silver boots. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but I'm definitely doing a blue jacket. I know that much.
You know, I wasn't even thinking about the golden guns, but now I am, and I'm imagining it on the model, and I'm like, that sounds awesome.
Doesn't it sound so cool, right? Like a little golden guns of James Bond action there too,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Because he is the James Bond of outer space in a sense, I guess, maybe?
Not really. He's a little James Bondy, right?
I mean, he's a thief. So it's like sort of super spy-ish.
That's true. He's like an Indiana Jones type guy.
That's
right?
Better. You know? Yes. Yes. He's definitely Indiana Jones, which is James Bond adjacent. Maybe. I don't know. It's not
James
at all.
James Bond B.
It's not at all. I just want to incorporate James Bond into this discussion somehow now.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, I like the sculpt a lot, and it's, you know, it's not one of my favorites. Like I've talked before. I mean, nothing is unseated GG right now. And then there's, you know, the awesomeness that is Ultron. But I do really love this. And I'm excited to see what the rest of the Guardians are. I mean, you can go on the gallery and look at it. And I've looked at them. But I try to kind of save my in-depth look at the model until we do these discussions, because I think it's more fun that way. But anyways, yeah. So how are you going to paint yours if you paint him?
Let's see. You know, I might go a little noir.
Oh,
you know?
Interesting.
and maybe do a little noir feeling to it.
Now that might be fun.
A black jacket, hint, you know, maybe like a hint of purpley on it, purple on there.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. You know, it's that's the best part about painting the models is that you can kind of just do whatever you want,
you can
however
literally
you feel.
Do whatever you want, which is one of the things that I just love about this game.
Absolutely.
So now let's start by taking a look at Star-Lord's card. And I will start here. Star-Lord, his alter ego is Peter Quill. And I like how it's Star-Lord, like with a dash between the star and the Lord. You know, like Spider-Man has the dash, and like whenever you type Spider-Man in on your iPhone, it'll autocorrect to having the dash on it.
Yes, it does.
Which I think is awesome. Star-Lord doesn't do that yet, but maybe one day.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
We'll call up Apple.
Yeah, exactly. Just get him to fix that.
Yeah.
So he has 6 stamina. He moves medium. His size is 2. His threat value is 3. His physical defense is 3. His energy defense is 3. And his mystic defense is also 3. So standard across the board stat line on terms of defenses. Anything stand out to you on those?
You know, I'd love for something to stand out, but he's average across the board, right? I think maybe I expected him to have a four threat character, seeing as he comes alone in his own box, right?
Right.
But, you know, he's just average, right? He's like a Spider-Man, you know.
Who is 4 threat?
He was 4 threat, you know. And we've talked about how Spider-Man is, but Star-Lord's got a little end game that can help him out a little bit. But he seems kind of average to me, you know.
Yeah, for me, the standout is his stamina. Actually, how he has 6 stamina on his healthy side. Like when you look at other threat 3 characters, just threat 3, you've got Baron Zemo who is 5 health. Then you've got Shuri who is also 5 health. Winter Soldier, 5 health. And then Iron Man, he's threat 3. He's also got 5 stamina. And then our Dr. Octopus. Dr. Octopus is threat 3 with 5 stamina. So the fact that he's threat 3 and has 6 stamina on his healthy side, I think is really interesting. But then when you look at other characters out there, so like look at Captain America, he's threat 4, but on his healthy side is 5 stamina. Spoiler alert. Star-Lord's injured side, the only thing that changes is his stamina. It goes down to 5. So he's kind of the inverse of Captain America in this way, whereas Captain America is 5 on his healthy side and 6 on his injured side. Star-Lord is 6 on the healthy side, 5 on the injured side, which I think is interesting. But like, if you want to just look at it from like a standard human perspective, and there's no, like, there's been no official thing from Atomic Mass Games that has said, this is what a, quote, standard human stat line is. There's nothing like that, but I think it's just kind of what we've seen in the game so far in terms of abilities and stuff when no one has, like, a super soldier invigoration or has some kind of special tech that their normal stat line is a 5 stamina and 3s across the board on the defensive stuff. Like, even Spider-Man, like you mentioned Spider-Man earlier, he's threat 4 and has 5 stamina. And 3s across the board on the defense, which you think of Spider-Man as being kind of more resilient, but it's really the fact that he has the spider senses that I think make him so much more resilient. But
yeah. Now that you're dropping those health, the stamina of all those threat 3s, that is really interesting that they chose to do Star-Lord at 6. And like you just said with Spider-Man, like Spider-Man has a lower stamina than Star-Lord. And like you said, Spider-Man is supposed to be like the superhuman guy, and
exactly.
Star-Lord's a dude with guns and a mask and has rocket boots.
All very cool things.
Very, but
I wish
don't know
I had
if
all
make
of those
you
things.
More healthy. Exactly. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. I think that's a really interesting thing. Like, and when you look at like Hela has 6 stamina on her healthy side, and she's a god. I mean, and this is probably more. It's probably more about the abilities than the stamina aspect of it. I just find. To me, this is an instance where something stands out on their initial stat line that I think wouldn't stand out to most people.
Yeah, I agree. Because, it didn't stand out to me. I just thought, it's 3s across the board, medium, 3 threat, 2. I didn't think that the 6 would be that interesting now that you've gone over it. So Yeah. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. So anyways, that's his normal stat line. So now, Derek, would you like to go over his attacks?
Yes, I would. So he's got element gun, and I mean, it's an energy attack, you know, element.
Hey, it could be a physical element. Rocks are physical.
Oh, well, you had to throw that at me, huh? he's got a range 4 on that. It's 5 strength.
I'm sorry. I just got that. You had to throw that at me. I just got that.
You know, I throw the puns. Man, I just did another pun.
You just did it again. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, oh man, sometimes this shit just goes right over my head.
I thought you would have gotten it quicker, so I kind of moved on.
Yeah, it took me a second. The delayed reaction, what can I say? So let's start over. Tell us about his energy attack element gun.
So it's got five strength, 0 power. So it's like your strike, you know, typical strike. But it's got, after this attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt. So pretty typical. Range 4 on a 5 strength attack. It's pretty good, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's basically strike without the words and a farther range, which I really like. I think that's makes perfect sense. So yeah, go on to his next one, and we'll talk about the whole of the attacks.
Yes. He's got full auto, which is also an energy attack. Which is also range 4, strength 7, and costs 3 power, which is nice, but it gets even better. He's got, if you roll a wild, you get elemental blast. After this attack is resolved, for each wild in the attack roll, the defending character gains 1 of the following special conditions: bleed, shock, slow, or stun. Oof. So let me tell you, to be able to pick a special condition.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So picking one of those 4, and let's just assume that you somehow can do this attack 2, maybe even 3 times. Yeah, that's pretty incredible and pretty awesome.
It stacks up.
So overall on his attacks, like element gun by itself, range 4, 5 dice, that's really good, I think. I think that's really good, really consistent. It's funny how the difference between a 4 strength and a 5 strength, I think, really kind of ups the likelihood of damage that much more. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
In my experience, anyways, like Black Panther's strike, like I keep coming back to Black Panther, like his strike is 5 dice, but I find myself consistently doing damage with his 5 dice strike versus like Winter Soldier's 4 dice assault rifle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah. 5 dice on a energy attack, which again, like we got our new toy in Venom recently, but they are apparently supplying us with a myriad of ways to deal with Venom.
This is why I think Atomic Mass Games is doing such a great job. They're coming out with these ways to balance. So there's no one broken character yet. There's always some sort of counter.
Man.
So it's really nice. It's really nice.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Like, as we're going to go through this card, like, I think that is kind of the consensus that I will be able to say with this card and the game as a whole. It's just everything feels about right. Like, MODOK is strong, but he's not broken. Like, he doesn't break the game. There are ways to deal with him. And again, I think also part of it is you layer on the fact that it's an objective-based game, so play the objectives, and all that survivability with his canceling wilds and all the damage that he can do is kind of mitigated by having to play objectives. So, but that's not why we're here. We're not talking about MODOK. But Star-Lord in general, like, I think he's really good. I think these being energy attacks, like, obviously you don't want to throw them into Captain Marvel, but at the same time, I think this is really cool. And full auto, I mean, 7 dice for only 3 power.
And the wild ability, elemental blast, coupled with that, it's so good, and it gets even better when we get into his cards that come with them.
But listen to this though. Like, so I think this is something that's that could easily be missed when you read full auto. After this attack is resolved, for each wild in the attack roll, not just for a wild, but for each wild that you roll on that 7 dice attack, you get to apply a condition.
I don't have words. I'm in shock.
I'm stunned.
Oh man, I'm bleeding out.
It's slowly coming out for sure.
The puns
are bleeding this podcast dry. So for those of you that don't know, I'm going to go over these conditions real quick. Bleed is after the end of a character's activation, if they did not do a shake action, they take one damage. Shock is if they do not do a shake action, they roll one fewer die per attack roll. Slow is if they do not do a shake action, they move short. They use the short movement tool to move. And then the stun condition is they can only gain one power. If an effect would have them gain more than one power, they only gain one instead, which is what stun does. All of that could be taken away with a shake action, but again, you're messing with action economy. And let's not forget that the shake action only removes one of those conditions. So let's say you have an amazing roll and you put all four conditions on somebody, it's going to take them four turns to get rid of them.
It's insane.
That's bananas. Unless they're playing Asgardians, which then the affiliation comes into play. So anything else about his attacks other than they're just awesome?
No, they're just awesome. That's all there is to it. I mean, full auto. I don't think there's much more to say about it. It's a really good attack for the power, and it's going to be so much fun.
Yes, I'm very excited for that one specifically. I'm much more excited about this character than I thought I would be. Anyways, let's move on to his superpowers. So first up, we have his leadership ability, because Star-Lord, if you don't know, is the leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So leader, I think, is probably a loose term, but, you know, he's Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw.
Exactly. Legendary so, out. Who?
Yeah, who? Exactly. So he has an affiliation leadership ability called Winging It, which thematically makes perfect sense. Once per round, at the start of your turn, you may choose an allied character and discard a team tactic card to use this leadership ability. The chosen character gains 3 Winging It tokens. After rolling attack dice, defense dice, or dodge dice, it may discard 1 Winging It token to reroll up to 2 of its dice. Only 1 Winging It token may be discarded per roll. Remove all Winging It tokens from that character during the next cleanup phase. So, whew, Lord, that's a lot of text.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. But basically, this is kind of, basically, I'm going to water this down a little bit. You discard a team tactic card, and then one character of your choice gets to basically reroll 2 of its dice up to 3 times.
That's the gist of it.
I mean, that's the simplest form. Now, they can only do it once per roll, but still, that's incredible.
It's very good, especially, you know, you think sacrificing a team tactic card. But, I mean, obviously there are instances where, you know, this particular team tactic card won't work. Well, and you know it, so you can discard it and you can possibly save a character.
Save a character or take out a character, because you get to do it on attack, defense, or dodge. Which I think the dodge part for me, with as prolific as I like to throw shit, you know, like, I'm a throwing terrain person, so if you can survive by having rerolls on your dodge dice, I mean, that's generally an area where you don't get to reroll things.
Exactly.
So,
I think it's very interesting, and I think it's gonna be good.
I think it's interesting. I'm not sure if I'm ready to say it's good yet, just because while I do agree with you that there's those tactic cards that you just like don't need, usually it's not until you're later in the round where you can be like, okay, I'm not going to need to use X tactic card.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like later, like round 3 or 4, you get there and you're like, all right, well, I guess I'm not going to use Inspiring Monologue this turn or whatever, you know, whatever card you bring with you, or Mission Objective's not going to come in handy on this game potentially. So there are instances for sure where you're not going to use it, but it's like some of those team tactic cards, and especially you can only bring 5 in a match, like, it's a risk reward, dude. But I guess that's kind of what the Guardians of the Galaxy are, though.
I think it's very on point with the Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Oh, it feels super
very,
on brand.
Very, oh man, like Atomic Mass Games, you're doing great. Please keep going.
Yeah, for real, for real. Like, I mean, capturing, that's one of the things, like, again, this is not really a Star-Lord discussion, but I'm going to go on it anyways. So I have my local game shop. The owner is also owner of a local comic shop as well. And he's a huge comic book guy. He loves comics. He's been reading them for years. And every time we play against each other, he's always like, well, that's not really what the Hulk would be like, or that's not really this. And he's kind of criticizing a little bit. I'm like, but it's not about what, like, in terms of all the iterations of the Hulk you can think of, like, it's like they tried to distill down the minutiae of these characters, and I feel like that they have nailed it. Man, they have nailed it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Seriously.
Like, it's not going to be an exact direct representation, but damn if they didn't make it feel like this character is this character. And it's Star-Lord specifically, as like, especially like that ability right there. Like, all right, we're just going to wing it today and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this. So do you see a counterplay to winging it, in that if you're playing against the Guardians of the Galaxy and he puts winging it out on, I don't know, let's say on Thor, right? He puts winging it on Thor. Do you just stay away from Thor, try not to do anything to him?
Ooh, see, you know, that's something to think about, because maybe you do.
Right, but see, with that, though, he would also get to reroll attack dice. So I think what you might want to do is figure out, hopefully, a way, this is just kind of me, to make it so Thor can't do two attacks, and then you just don't attack him or don't throw anything at him. So then those winging it tokens go away.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it definitely makes a kerfuffle. That's the word I'm going to use today.
Is that your word of the day on the calendar?
I always have a word every day that I have to pick randomly. And I use it. And that was the first time. So,
well, congratulations, America. You have been kerfuffled.
You have been kerfuffled.
I don't know.
It definitely. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just think that the counterplay to this ability could be interesting because, again, like, it all depends on the board state and everything like that, right? I mean, it's 100% on board state. Like, if he plays it on somebody that's in the middle of the board who is lining up for two attacks on the next turn, obviously, you can't just get away from that. But I'm curious kind of how it's going to play out.
I agree. And also you look at it from the point that they also had to discard a tactic card.
Exactly.
So the opponent can counteract, like, okay, they discarded that card. Now I know that they can't do that anymore. So maybe there's something else I can do.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's a risk reward, you know, but that's what these games are about. They're, you know, you take a risk and you get rewarded for it, or maybe you roll a bunch of zeros and get nothing.
Right. Well, let's talk about his next superpower, which is an innate ability called Plucky Attitude. So when attacking, if this character rolled no hits, it may re-roll all of its current attack dice. When defending, if this character rolled no blocks, it may re-roll all of its current defense dice. One quick note, this does not say you can re-roll critical fails, so skulls still stay skulls. That's not explicitly listed on the power, but that is always a thing. So
it's in the rule book.
It's in the rule book. Page rule book.
Page rule book, yes.
So yeah, I really like this ability.
Yeah, I really like it too. Also, we didn't mention, I don't see that it costs power.
Oh no, it's an innate ability.
Because it's an innate, right?
Exactly.
So it's an innate. You get to do this anytime. So you roll 7 dice on that full auto, and I mean, maybe you get a crit, but that's all you get. You have a chance to re-roll all those dice and try to get more.
Let's think about this though. If you roll that crit, let's say you only have one crit and no hits. That die that gets added for the crit now can become part of your re-roll.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's crazy.
And that, so again, like, let's break this down for a second, because that's what we do here at House Party Protocol. We really dive into these characters. You roll 3 crits and 2 wilds on that full auto attack, but no hits. You legitimately get to add 3 more dice and then re-roll the whole thing.
I'm again speechless.
That is just incredible. Like, I love it. I love this innate ability, because rerolls are always awesome. And there are instances in this game where So like Black Panther's Wakanda affiliation, you pay a power, you get a reroll. That one for me is just kind of like I'm not in love with it.
Right.
But this is, I mean, he just gets this. He just gets to reroll shit if he doesn't have any hits. Like, that's awesome.
Right. And with that 7 dice.
Right. And then, so then if he's blocking, he gets to reroll if he doesn't roll any blocks.
And that helps so much because, as we talked about earlier, he's only got 3 dice per.
Right.
Which is on the lower, you know, it's like average end. But to be able to reroll all right. 3 of those.
Right.
I mean, I know you've talked about previously on previous podcasts, like rerolls are so important. And he gets it.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And how is he just not threat 4? It just doesn't make sense.
I think he's definitely a candidate for, he's too low threat. And then, so he gets the rerolls on his defense. That makes that 6 stamina even more potent, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be harder to get through that 6 stamina.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. That's Plucky Attitude. His last innate superpower, his last thing that he does, and he just gets this, no power, nothing. He has flight and gem bearer power.
I feel the power.
Power flowing through him. Unlimited power!
It's one of my favorite moments in Star Wars.
Isn't it the best? Like, it's like, that's ridiculous. You're stupid, Emperor. You're stupid. So, yeah, like, oh, I love it. Gem Bearer power. So, that is Star-Lord superpowers. And I think we went through them kind of one by one. Sounds pretty awesome. We'll go over the power gem here in a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, on his injured side, like I said at the beginning, the only thing that changes is that his stamina goes down by 1 and the picture gets a little tattered clothing.
It looks pretty cool. He's a little tattered.
So, Derek, do we have a release date for Star-Lord yet?
We do. It's March 13th, and he's going to be released alongside Rocket and Groot.
That's a 2-pack, right?
That's a 2-pack, absolutely. Cool. Rocket and Groot are a 2-pack. The models look great. We're not going to get into that, though. But my guess is they're going to be spoiled any day now.
Yeah, I think that might be the next Atomic Mass Transmissions we see.
I'm thinking that you're right.
So, anyways, the Infinity Gem power. First of all, this piece of art is pretty cool. Like, it looks like a missile shooting into the ground, but it's an Infinity Gem. Like, I don't know. It looks cool.
You know, the first thing I thought of when I saw that is kind of like a ki blast from like Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yes.
It kind of looks like a ki blast, but it looks great. It's beautiful. I love purple. It's one of my favorite colors. I love purple.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
So it looks great.
It does. I love it. I do like the mind one better just because it makes a little brain outline, but that's neither here nor there. So the Infinity Gem power, Derek, what does that do?
Well, first of all, it costs a threat like all the gems do.
And a roster spot.
And a roster spot. So it's going to cost you a threat, and it's going to cost you a roster spot. But you might be pretty happy with this one. During the power phase, this character gains 2 additional power instead of the normal 1 for having an Infinity Gem. So if you're counting, that's 3 power.
That's right. And you know
that's
what
costs? Hulk.
Yeah, you know what costs 3 power too? Full auto costs 3 power. So you just get to do it immediately.
Every single turn.
Exactly. And let's not only think about the fact that full auto costs 3 power. That's the only thing he does that costs power.
Yes. So basically, you put the power gem on him and he's got a 7 dice attack guaranteed every time. So you know it's coming. You know you're going to get hit with full auto. And that elemental blast that we talked about, that's sitting right behind that every single time. It's brutal. That makes him a 4 threat character.
Right. That makes him a 5 threat character in my book.
Right? That's probably a 5 threat character. It's just absurd.
That's just so awesome and so crazy. And I think this Infinity Gem is... it's only 1 threat and there's no cost to it other than like the mind gem costs you power to use it and it costs threat to add it to your character. Right. and only Loki can do it. But this one, it's only Star-Lord, sure, but man, one threat and he just gets three power. I mean, dude. Oh, well, I love it.
If we're looking at maybe what we can think about for the future, because there's going to be a certain guy who rhymes with Anos that might be able to hold some of these gems.
Is that guy's name Panos Kazmatos? That's a real guy.
So. Wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a director. He did a movie called Mandy. It's super weird, but super awesome.
I'll have to check that out.
If you like super weird cinema, I mean, super weird cinema.
I'm watching that after this.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just crazy. Anyways, Thanos is who you're referencing for real.
Yes. So I'm assuming Thanos is going to be able to hold some gems, right?
I would imagine so.
I mean, this is going to be we don't know what Thanos is going to be, but my guess is that if he's coupled with a power gem, watch out.
Yeah, for real. And I just like how this here, it's this. So normally when someone's holding an infinity gem, they gain an extra power in the power phase. So like Loki being an Asgardian, if he's got the Mind Stone, that would give him three power in the power phase. But this one, it's also three power in the power phase, but it doesn't cost you like, okay, losing a roster spot to a gem, I would not say is great. But depending on what the rest of the Guardians look like and whether or not that the whole team makes up like a good team, like I think that this is legit going to be an affiliation that I want to use, and I legit will put the Power Stone in my roster if I'm running Guardians.
Because absolutely.
I don't see like why you wouldn't.
I don't see any reason either. I mean, if you're going to have the Guardians of the Galaxy in your 10, you should have the Infinity Gem, the Power Infinity Gem.
Exactly. 100%. Exactly. So let's talk real quick about who the Guardians are in Atomic Mass Games Marvel Crisis Protocol. So the leader is Star-Lord. Then we have Gamora, Nebula, Rocket Raccoon, Groot, Drax the Destroyer, Ronan the Accuser, and last but not least is Angela, which when we talked about Asgardians on this show, we didn't mention the fact that Angela is also an Asgardian. She's Thor's sister. And I'm really intrigued to see what they do with that character, because that's a character that's just crazy in the comics.
Yeah, absolutely. And nice little spoiler that they did there, that Angela is going to be coming. So exactly. It'll be really interesting.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that. And then I also think it's interesting that Ronan's in the list, because like he's generally viewed as an antagonist, especially with the movies and everything. But I don't know. I think it's going to be fun.
That was the first thing I thought of, too. I was like, Ronan, huh? Because he comes with Drax, right? Which is an interesting duo.
I can't remember if he does. I think you're right, yeah, because Nebula and Gamora come together. Rocket and Groot come together, so maybe. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up. But either way, yeah, super crazy.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the rest of these, especially like Rocket. Like, is he going to be a glass cannon? I'm so excited.
I know, right? And I love the Rocket's go. We'll talk about this later. All right, don't need to talk about it.
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the tactic cards that they spoiled on the stream. So first up being Rocket Boots. I think this one's pretty cool. It's called Rocket Boots? ! It's an unaffiliated card. It's active, so you have to play it while it's on your turn. An allied character may play this card. The character gains the flight innate superpower this round. At the end of the round, roll one die. If the result is a blank, the character gains stun. If it is a skull, the character gains stagger and stun. On any other result, the character may advance short. And this just sounds fun and ridiculous. Like, I don't see myself using this very often, but there are definitely instances. Like, I don't think it would make my roster just because I don't think it's super useful all the time. But, like, putting it on a Black Widow and letting her move long over a building would be awesome in certain instances. But then that punishing penalty for the roll at the end.
Yeah, the penalty is kind of a little steep. But I think my favorite part about this is the art.
Spider-Man rolling.
It's Spider-Man with like these rocket boots.
Yes, it looks ridiculous.
It's hysterical. I love it. But this sounds silly. It's so on par with. It's great that this comes with Star-Lord, because it just seems like this would be an interesting thing to throw in. Like I said, like you said, I don't know if this makes my roster, but It's fun.
In a totally casual game, I would want to play this. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
So his next tactic card that they spoiled was called Crew of the Milano. Would you like to go over this one?
All right. So we have, it's a Guardians of the Galaxy affiliated card.
Which means?
Only Guardians of the Galaxy printed on the actual affiliation card can use this.
Exactly. So if you have Winter Soldier in your list, he counts as an affiliated character for list building, but not for team tactic cards.
Exactly.
Continue.
It's active, which again means it has to be on your turn. Any number of allied Guardians of the Galaxy characters may spend one power to play this card. Each character that spent power removes all special conditions and cannot suffer special conditions this round.
Ooh boy.
Yeah. I think if you're building a Guardians of the Galaxy team out of your 10, I think you got to put that in there.
Yeah. I think that this is, this comes down to total list building, and we don't know what the rest of the Guardians look like, but holy crap, if my roster has Guardians of the Galaxy in it as an affiliation, there's no way I don't put this in my roster. And if I'm playing Guardians of the Galaxy, like even in a casual game, there's no way this is not in my hand of five.
I totally agree. Like, it's so good. You removes all special conditions, and then you can't suffer any special conditions.
Right, for an entire round.
It's absurd.
That's insanity, and I love it.
It's so much fun.
And so when I talked about rosters in a previous episode, and then like I said on the Gamers Guild Tactics episode, one of the things that I like to do, and I like when it comes to spending tactics cards and having tactics cards, is I like cheap tactic cards. I like things to where I can use my power on my superpowers and not necessarily on my cards. And this one here, one power. It costs you one power only per character. Like, you get a power at the start of the round.
One power make you a power.
Full?
holler doesn't really rhyme.
It doesn't really rhyme. But, you know, one power make you holler.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's what I did when I saw this card, because it's awesome.
Because it's amazing. It's so good. I love it. And, yeah, the art on it's cool, but what a card, man.
It's great. It's a great card.
And the last card that we saw on stream that comes with the Lord of Stars is a crisis card. It's actually another extraction card.
Another extraction. How many is that? We behind?
In terms of crises, there are 7 extractions and there are 4 secures.
Oh, that's bad. Come on.
That's nuts. So they said, they alluded to the fact that the spider people will have a secure card with them. But man, you're 3 up on the secures. So I hope that they swing it back to give us some more secures. Not that I don't love, I like the extractions probably better in general, but at the same time, we need some more secures, man. We need to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, there needs to be a little more variety there.
Right. So, yeah. Anyways, this crisis here, it's an extraction crisis. It's 19 threat. So again, kind of an interesting number in terms of list building there. Panic grips city as evacuation efforts continue! Setup is place 4 citizen tokens, which are civilian tokens, which you can use actually, I'm sure they'll come with this game, but I think you can actually use the opposite side of like the spider infected or the opposite side of the scroll infected, like with the blue side of each of those to use for this, I think.
But that sounds about right.
I'm sure that there will be new tokens that come with this though. With that said, scoring. Players score 1 victory point for each citizen held by a character they control during the cleanup phase. Now the special rules text here is interact, pick up a citizen, which interacting is not an action, but it does cost you 1 power. A character cannot hold more than 1 citizen. During its activation, a character holding a citizen may evacuate the citizen by spending 6 power. The character's controlling player immediately scores 2 VPs and removes the citizen held by that character from the game.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting, huh?
That is. Here's my question.
Ooh, what is it?
So, does that mean you still get one victory point for scoring, or...
No.
So, you get the two victory points, and then it's done.
And
so,
then, right.
So, would it be better just to run around and hold that one citizen?
Exactly. It would be better to run around and hold the citizen until the appropriate moment. So, like, for instance, if I'm sitting there and I've got two citizen tokens and I'm at 12 points, then I'm going to spend the power, if I have it, to get to 16 points before the round even ends, because then I immediately win.
Mm-hmm. Also, if your character is about to get KO'd and drop that citizen,
you exactly.
could maybe drop 6 power, clear that citizen off the board, and you get the victory points and they don't get anything.
Exactly. And I think it makes for an interesting... I think it's interesting for more like what you just said than what I said, simply because if you're about to go down and you don't have the power, and, you know, or if you do have the power and you clear that token off the board, well, that's one less point total that's being scored at the cleanup phase in general. So it's going to probably potentially could create a slower scoring game in general with some of these lower scoring secures. Like, for instance, Extremis consoles is a fairly slow scoring because it's 1 point for control of an Extremis console. So
1 point, 1 point to sit on a, never mind.
Exactly. That's,
to go back to the sitting on a thing, it's absurd.
It is. But so that's like, I think, you know, on some of these slower scoring secure crisis, that could be, it could be interesting and create an interesting little play there. So yeah, it's a extraction crisis that I think will be fun. I don't know if it would potentially replace one of the other ones that I already have. Like, I really like Wakandan Herbs just because it's tough. And then I really like the Worthy, so it probably would replace Spider Infected, but I really like Spider Infected because it's fun.
Yeah, I think Spider Infected is very fun.
Yeah.
I really like Spider Infected.
Me too. It's not really one of the most exciting in terms of what it does, like from a scoring perspective, but I think it's just fun. It's just a fun crisis. So
here's my question. I assume you have it in front of you. What's Map B? So where are these tokens located?
Map B is just like the Infinity Formula Goes Missing secure crisis.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the one where it's like four corners. So I think it'd be kind of cool to actually play Infinity Formula and this together, because you kind of have like a little area there. It's like a square within the square, if you will.
Yeah, I gotcha. So it's the same setup as... So then, I mean, you're really spreading out to try to... Mm-hmm. To try to get these four citizens. That could be that. Yeah, this sounds fun. I like this. I think this is going to be a good time.
I think so too. So, speaking of good times, this has been. So, with that, please make sure to like us on Facebook. Once we hit 500 likes, we're going to do another giveaway. I think we're at like 470 right now. So, tell your friends, tell your gaming group, hit that like button. And make sure to leave us a review if you can on whatever platform that you listen to this podcast. It really helps us get noticed by people looking for Crisis Protocol content. Also, hit us up on email at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. We love interacting with you guys and reading what y'all have to say. And one of these days, I think we're going to start having an email segment on the show once we can figure out how to keep our time down. It's probably... You know, not having so many off-topic discussions would help, but whatever, it's fun. And then also hit us up on Discord. I'm at @HPP_Will. Greg is at @HPP_Greg. Derek, you're on Discord, right?
I am, but I can't for the life of me remember what my Discord.
Okay, so just find random people on Discord to talk about and hope one of them's Derek. There you go. Also.
Oh, I got it. It's 608Gamer07.
All right, cool. So find that craziness. And also hit us up on Facebook, House Party Protocol Podcast. We love getting messages from you guys. That's how Derek started to become such a friend of the show, is by just sending us messages on there. We love talking to you guys over there. And don't forget House Party 15 for Blacksite Studio Terrain. Get you 15% off your order. And then House Party 15 over at Dr. Squatch, get you 15% off over there. And that, I think that promo code might be going away soon, so just yeah, use it while you can. And then, yeah, check us out on all the places with all the stuff. And I do think we did forget one thing. Who's your favorite X-Men character?
Oh, it's Wolverine.
Wolverine? Is this, so is this like a, since the movies came out, you're a Wolverine fan, or like
pre-movies? Oh, no, I've been reading back, way back in the day, I would read comics back in the 90s, and Wolverine's been, I've been a big fan of that old yellow and blue, black suit that he had.
Nice. My favorite suit was the Frank Miller one, like the orange and kind of the crimson, brownish, reddish color. Like that was like,
I love
the,
that.
That was probably my favorite.
Yeah, I've loved Wolverine for a really, really long time.
Nice.
I just love the X-Men in general. I have so many comics in like a giant bin in my parents' basement.
Don't we all?
Comics piled on top of each other.
Because we cannot talk about the X-Men and Marvel Crisis Protocol without... Hit it, Idris.
Reset the clock.
Oh, all right. So that's it for today. With that... Final words, Derek?
Have fun. That's what it's all about. It's all about having fun, having a great time, and enjoying the game and loving these models and the time we're in where we can experience a fantastic game like this. And it's really great.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.